year, seven written ones during the 35 years covered in the book of Acts, ending in AD 64. Now, I'll make a point. Alan gave a study on the dates, Alan Noss. And simple numbers are my kind of background. And I just try to look at numbers, and I appreciate them all the way through the scriptures. And where I came up with the fact of 35, I get 5 by 7. I get the number of grace, divine grace, and I get the number of spiritual perfection in 5 by 7. Now, I'll tell you for sure, in the mystery, do we have numbers to play with? Will numbers really be in our game? That was mostly Israel. But many things flow into the scriptures in these numbers, and many things are very interesting. There were seven written as separate books after the book of Acts. Are these later seven books revealing a new message that was revealed about a mystery hid from ages and generations? Any answers? Any thoughts? Okay.
I believe so.
I think you all know the answer. Congratulations. Those were loaded questions, and the answers were obvious. Yes, is the answer. Take a look at 2 Timothy 2:1 and 2:2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I knew you were saints and believers and will be able to teach others also. It's part of our dispensation. Christ was crucified in another part of the 35 years in AD 29. Using AD 64, we have 35 years again. Since Christ was crucified, he in the flesh said, Father, forgive them. In Luke 23:34, for they know not what they do. That's seven words, for they know not what they do. Compare Isaiah 2:9 and the entire chapter. Future prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. There are only those two scriptural references that are similar. One's past, one's future. Isaiah's is in the future, and the one that we've seen in Timothy was in the past. Stephen also used seven words in Acts 7:60. His very last statement was, lay not this sin to their charge. He also made that prayer. We're right there ensconced in the book of Acts. We're wrapped up in it. We're tied into it. At that time, they were looking at Israel. They were all Israel. Israel was there. The one in Isaiah 2:9 was, and the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore, forgive them not. This is what's going to be happening in the future. Forgive them not. It'll be tough times for the nation of Israel at that time. First, I want to consider a few words with you. We have burn, burn, burning, death, die, die, fire, grave, hell, lake, perish, perish, perishing, pit, second, and Sheol. These are words that are used in the 14 books of Paul. How does Paul use these words? Burn is there two verses, not in the mystery, not in the latter seven books. Burn, six verses, not in the mystery. Burning, no verses at all in Paul's 14 epistles. Death, 50 verses, 5 in Philippians, 1 in Colossians, 1 in 2 Timothy. Died, 12 verses, 1 in Philippians. Died, 16 verses, not mentioned in the mystery, not mentioned at all in the mystery. Dieth, Two verses not mentioned in the mystery. Dying. Two verses not in the mystery. Continuing. Destroy. Seven verses not in the mystery. Destroyed. Eight verses not in the mystery. Destroying. No verses in Paul's 14 epistles. Destruction. Nine verses. 1 Philippians 3:19. Fire. Eight verses, not in the mystery. Lake. No verses in Paul's 14 epistles. Grave. That's a misprint there. It should be three verses, not four. Got carried away. Three verses there. Two in 1 Timothy 3:8 and 3:11. One in Titus 2:2. Tomb. No verses in Paul's 14 epistles. Sepulchre. Not in the mystery. Hell, no verses in Paul's 14 epistles. But be aware of the word Hades. Gehenna, or Gehenna, the Valley of Jerusalem. There are only 12 verses in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and James shown in hell in these scriptures. It is peculiar to 12 words in Strong's, G 1067. But they're, of course, not used in Paul's 14 epistles. But it is an interesting departure from the way the word hell, virtually almost everything is translated hell. And we have Sheol, and we have Hades, and we have the grave. A lot of it is all in the word hell. Very careful to be pulling that out. Going here a little further, we have perish is 8 verses, 1 in Colossians 2:22. Perished. 2 verses not in the mystery. Perisheth, 4 verses not in the mystery. Perishing, 1 verse not in the mystery. Pit, 9 verses, no verses in Paul's 14 epistles. Second, 9 verses, 1 in Titus 3:10. Sheol, no verses in the New Testament. Recapping this here is I wanted to discuss the death and mystery, the ones that are there. The first four or seven, we have Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. This is Philippians, most of the references that have to do with death and with mystery are mostly in Philippians. Philippians 2:8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. These are things that Christ himself did, of course. Philippians 2:27, Epaphroditus, one of Paul's trusted helpers, pray for him. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. This has nothing to do with the grave. This has to do with an illness of Epaphroditus. Philippians 2:30 is the same. It's a continuation between 2:27 to 2:30. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service to me. Continuing on this part for now. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. His sufferings, I'm sure that's one of the words that Tony had to use there. Being made conformable unto his death. Colossians 1:22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. What he did for us there, all that we can expect, is done, all that work has been done for us. 2 Timothy 1:10, that now was now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality the light through the gospel. I'm going to back off here just a second. I'm going to go back to the part where we were in, man bowed down, the great man and the mean man. We'll move forward a little bit with that. Adam, without the article, denotes man or mankind in general. The great man-ish, in the Hebrew Greek, a male or a husband. Every person here, and every young person that represents himself here. Very important. I believe you all, if you have any talent for numbers, should study Bullinger's work on numbers. 7 has to do with incubation, gestation, insects, birds, animals, and man. The depth of that study is alone enough to confuse you for the rest of your life. I mean, it is fantastic. From a youngster's point of view, to be able to look at those types of things, the setup of flowers, the setup of feet, the setup of everything that goes on there, how could you not see creation Amen. At its top work?
Amen.
It's not some chance happening that just flew along our way. A big bang. Anyway, we all know that. I just wanted to make that sure, but I know I love the young people. I love them to death. Here we are. I mean, some of us are like me. Gathering time. But what can we do? We can teach others also.
Amen.
All of us can. Be prepared to suffer. As a matter of fact, in Philippians 1:29, for unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. That's what's going to happen. You know, as we get older like this, we kind of get set in our ways. People move along. They kind of shut us down. If you have family that doesn't believe that you're this mystery is something that goes on, and that they can't accept it, they'll kind of shut you down.
Yep.
I mean, it's a blessing when the whole family sticks together. It's a blessing beyond anything I can think of to have your children follow right along in track of this. And when I see the young people, I think to myself, they're going to suffer. And are they ready to suffer at this young age? Are they ready to face that? I mean, they've got phones. They've got homework. They've got studies. They've got all kinds of things. They've got friends. They're in the world. They're chatting on the world. The guy standing 3 feet away from them, he's texting them. He's not talking to them. So, I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that that is, in fact, a systematic increase in the amount of time that Satan is now putting into the churches and the schools and everything we can see. I'm not saying that we're perfect people up here. Don't take that for a minute that I mean that. We're certainly not. But we should be able to set ourselves apart just a skosh to be able for people to see that we are of some different set. We're not there just to shove something down their throat. We're not there to tell them to come into the church and, by the way, do these works. Oh, by the way, donate this money. Oh, by the way, do this, do that, do this. That is not what it's all about. The churches of today, and Alan Thorpe beautifully said that there are about 4,000 denominations. I had 3,500 in my list. But then he's been a couple of years ahead of me for a while now, so there's the 4,000 that are popping in there. But what we have to deal with is that they're all potentially in error. They all have an error because they're taking on the ordinances of Israel. They're taking on all the works of Israel. They're taking on the works of the church. They're taking on those things. They're never like there never really were any churches back in the day of Christ or afterwards. The only time that the church really got formed, and I guess I can say this without knowing for a fact, that Catholicism was the biggest one that really got rolling. First of all, that's the Vitiligus and the two different manuscripts, the other one that's out there. So they're building their doctrine on a business. It's strictly business. But we are building this doctrine here in our group today based on love.
Amen.
And love goes, and I also mentioned that, goes from the beginning to the end. It's been there from the beginning of time. All we have to do is pay attention to our young people and love them. And they'll return that. I can tell you from my experience of my children, they may not return it for 23 years, but they might come back eventually. You know, but they just aren't, or they'll just, they get caught up in the world. We all get caught up in the world. Barney said, watch your own. Next is the, what is the name of that one?
Netflix, yeah.
Stay away from this stuff. We used to listen to music, and I'm not saying we're good people, but when we're riding in the car now, flash drives are playing Welch, Allen, Baker, anything we can get our hands on, that's what's being played in our radio. Until, you know, I'm sitting there driving, and Judy's telling me what not to do, because I'm always trying to hit something, she thinks. But bless her heart, because we're a team. The two of us are a team. What a blessing when you have a family when you're a team. And she gives me verses and she tells me things and she lays this stuff on me. And she's not really very nice. So you guys pay attention to her. She picks on her husband. Other than that, she's great. So I'm just suggesting 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. 2 Timothy 2:3 and 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Die, destruction, grave. And back to this subject. We see also the other words that were in Paul's later writings. Paul, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This is him having a desire to want to be with Christ, but he has work. He has stuff to do. He's not going to give away. So you can't use that as something as marching orders that you should be following, other than to know that to die is gain for us in the future. Philippians 3:19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Golly, we all do. And I'm going to buy myself a new car. I'm going to buy myself a new deal. You know, all the sorts of traffic. And what we need to do is focus on our Lord and Savior. Sacrifice for him. We are his bond slaves. We are his servants. He paid a terrible price for us. We need to live for him. 1 Timothy 3:8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy or filthy lucre. 1 Timothy 3:11, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Titus 2:2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience. I had trouble with the book of Titus, it's been mentioned earlier today. And also of parts of 1 Timothy, in the different offices that were put in place, and so on. They're definitely mystery books, definitely in that section. But these are just talking about what was going on at that time. This is just saying what was happening as they worked their way into this situation. Because there was not jillions of them. There was lots of them, but not that many. Perish in second. Colossians 2:22, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Titus 3:10, a man is a heretic after the first and second and Venetian reject. I guess what I really want to make a point to you, there's not many verses in Paul's writings that reflect resurrection to the unbeliever or the believer, yes. But wait. What about the dead? Now we have it a little different. The word dead. Ephesians 1:20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, G 34:98, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That's the power of God. A class that I teach of various mixed believers of different denominations, of course, they think they're flashing right up. Something goes wrong, they're going to be right in heaven, you know, right away. He meant to be with the Lord, right there. His spirit meant to be with the Lord. They can't apparently wait around to realize there's going to be a split second before they're going to be risen from the grave. It will be any time at all. There is no time in the grave. There's no knowledge. There's nothing in the grave.
Amen.
There's nothing to worry about there. They're just a matter of we're going to have to face it. Ephesians 2:1, and you have ye quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. This is to bolster us. We are brought up in this. We're dead to trespasses and sins. Sin is no longer even in effect for us today. It doesn't affect us other than we allow it in the flesh. Even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We reflect that. We think that. Those that sleep will rise again. Those that perish will not rise again. Now I'm going to back up here and say that this study of mine that I've been doing, and I hear a lot of different things. I look up different stuff, but I try to read this for myself. I try not to read with a lot of different commentators. But I do. I look at them. I can't stop myself.
It's too easy.
We don't know really what's going to happen to Israel. We don't really know anything about that. That's been out of place now for a couple thousand years. 2029 is going to be 2,000 years since Christ was on the cross. It's 11 years in front of us. We're virtually every one of us going to see that 2,000-year time mark of the time that he was crucified. Moving forward from there, we're looking at other things that we've heard other people say, Baker, Fullinger, Welch, as to what the time will potentially could be happening. It's all out in front of us. We don't know. It'll be out there. Who can really know time? Because time, we're not under prophecy here. At all. All we have to look at is Hosea. And years at a thousand, a 2 year, a thousand, one day is like 1,000 years, and there's two of those. So it's like 2,000 years. Well, we're coming up on that real fast, and it won't be 2085. So it's hard to project when that's going to be. In fact, it's almost impossible. But everybody tries to. I try to. Everybody does. But we'll know when it happens. And the mystery. Philippians, can't remember which one was on last. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This is Paul talking. This is what he wants, the out resurrection of the dead.
Amen.
And it's something we all should try to stress to attain to. We suffer with him, we shall reign with him. Prizes, rewards. You know, when we believe, we have this flesh in us, and the only way to do anything with that flesh is to serve and study the new man, that new creation that is in us, and starve out the old man. That's all we can do. And it's most likely an impossible task, for sure, because every day, every way, things go wrong. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He is the only one that has been resurrected. The only one. In the class I teach, well, what about what was his name, Elias? Or the one that was
Lazarus.
Lazarus. Well, not Lazarus. They went back and forth. In the Old Testament, too.
Elijah.
Well, anyway, he was translated. He was brought away from there from that. But he never said. But when we get into Acts, Hebrews 11, it says they all die. Every one of them. Every one of them died. So, you know, and then in the class I teach, well, but that doesn't mean that paragraph. You know, this is this other paragraph. So I'll tell you one thing. What a blessing it is to be in a group of like-minded believers. I love you all. I must tell you right up front. So praise you. Praise you for the truth for today. But isn't there always one thing with Oscar? I'm just thinking this. You know, when he would, I would listen to his tapes. What a wonderful man! What an easygoing personality! What an easygoing thing! I mean, what does he always do? He's going along hot and heavy, and he's coming and saying, "Okay, now there's this one section here. It's really complicated, but I can't do that today because it'd be just too much. And you're hanging on the radio, just wanting to hear the spot, and you don't get it. It's just not coming in because he's not giving it to you that day." But he said, and then he'll say, "Well." We'll just have to figure it out later.
Yeah.
And he'll do that. He's a very simple, very kind, very gentle man. Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who had raised him from the dead. And 2:13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Colossians 2:20, wherefore if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? We aren't subject to any ordinances. Gentiles never had a single ordinance. They never had a single... the Ten Commandments has bearing on us, I would say, to a certain extent. But it being really brought down by Christ to two, love the neighbor and love the Father. So it's just a matter of we've never been under a law, we've never had that trouble. And now we have grace. Now we have this tremendous ability as an individual to step out and reach out and know our Savior.
Amen.
What a wonderful situation. Israel has all these things in their way. And are not even here today. Because you know what? They are now Gentiles. One new man. So they are with us in the same game. They have not yet seen the land. There's a lot of these verses, but there aren't that many, really. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's right now. This one... 1 Timothy 5:6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. This is something to do with part of Timothy that I don't quite understand, and I'm working on this Timothy together to try and tie it all in my head. 2 Timothy 2:8, of course, that to me is like the last book written. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. You go back to Romans to find what Paul's gospel was. And that Paul's gospel was the kingdom. So he was raised from the dead. And his gospel. 2 Timothy 2:11, it is a faithful saying. This is, I made some real interesting, to me, points. The fact that some of these words only have three references each in the scripture. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, which is italics, three references in there, we shall also live with three references him again. I'm not sure why, somebody will probably tell me, or I can figure it out well, eventually, why we lose the word him into italics there. 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Are we to worry about this? But wait, what about Israel? Well, the Old Testament to be considered. Now, Israel had a whole lot tougher job than we do. Psalm 1:1 to 1:6, fantastic group of verses.
Yep.
Alan used them, or excuse me, was it, somebody used those verses. Okay, yeah, all right. Those first three. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever and doth not shall prosper. but I do it at Shell Prosper. Yes, Tony, that was you, which was really good. I enjoyed that very much. Psalm 1:4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Psalm 1:5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. P.S. Psalm 1:6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pick a timeline. Genesis 1:1 to 1:2. At this juncture, we are dealing with the Katabolian Tohu-Bohu. Should you not be aware of this, there are many able teachers in this room that know this like the back of their hand. As Oscar Baker would say, the time is short, so it would be better for you to study it quietly and ponder the ramifications. The balance of Genesis 1:3 to Genesis 11:32 occupies about 2,083 years, if I can trail the years correct. 4,000 B.C. to 1921 B.C. It's a long time before we even get to Abraham. Now to the subject at hand, which I want to make known, of Israel. Ecclesiastes 9:5. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead not know anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Ecclesiastes 9:6. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. There is no time in the grave. Ecclesiastes 12:7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Psalm 6:5, for in death there is no remembrance of thee in the grave. Who shall give thee thanks? And finally, this is the last one here, and then I go to get the same. Daniel 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them sleep in the dust of the earth, shall awake. These are the ones that are sleeping. They all awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. They will be resurrected. They are not going to receive any rewards of some to shame and everlasting contempt. They are those that do not work for the message rightly divided, or at their time, back at that time, the laws and the rules and the regulations and the ordinances. This is believers, but not top drawer, so to speak. Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. That book is shut up. It will be opened again. I've studied a lot of things, obviously, but not well maybe, but I study a lot. But I want to say this, that Oscar makes a couple of points about time. And he makes the point that Revelation is not written in the future. He takes it back into AD 43, 14 years before Paul. And that, whether I knew a man in the body or out of the body. So that ties in the book of Revelation for them to know at that time, and for them to know that these things will happen soon. This is nigh, it's near. That kind of works. I can't prove it. I can't come up with an answer that says this is it for sure. But it kind of seems to tie in there. And then John, of course, John writes his book in such a special certain way that it's written in a way that he has to explain 10 separate times the different feasts and what the Jews were doing and what they had to do and what a rabbi was and all those 10 things. Israel knows. They know all that stuff. But they didn't. So John is talking to what we have known as John 3:16. And we're done. And that's not the only verse that John wrote. Then we also find John 17 where he talks about before the foundation of the world, Christ. So I those things can make some sense to me. We know that Mary went to live with John because Christ asked him to take care of his mother. So we know that that happened towards the end out there. So I can't, I'm just throwing little ideas, little thoughts out now, but I'm not through working on this. I don't think there's anything else there. No, that's it. But now, one thing that I'd like to make a point. Remember, always, every one of us in here, and I know we probably do, we are of the mystery revealed in Paul's last seven epistles. I cannot begin to caution you more firmly than for you to see Colossians 1:26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. God knew this well before the foundation of the world. That could be billions of years. I don't know how long it could be. I have no idea. But he knew it from the beginning. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known that what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's our mission. That's what we are to do. The young lads, the young ladies, they're hearing it from us. We need to serve them. They need to grow and prosper. We need to mature. It's all hard work. It's like digging for gold. You've got to dig deep to find anything. And it comes up in pieces. It doesn't come up all at once. Alan mentioned 4,000 denominations. I've always used 3,500. But Alan gets around more than I do. Power of it is growing by leaps and bounds. Mega churches now are changing their names to cover their underlying denomination. Life Church. Special church names, because it's popular today, and everybody is flowing to the popular mega churches, as Barney brought up, mega, such as Baptist, Church of God, etc., etc. It's all about marketing and filthy lucre, money. These are my thoughts. Please check them out on your own. This is Oscar speaking. Follow God and not man. Oscar Baker has numerous tapes for study. Welch, Allen, Bulliger, and other men who love the world rightly divided, I would say, well, check it out for yourself. On Oscar Baker's tape, he would be teaching a subject in detail, as I mentioned a little earlier, bringing a juicy scripture, and then he would say, well, I can't get into this right now. Well, that's where I am now. I can't get into this right now. But I recommend for all that are here, and I'm sure most all of you have it, the Companion Bible. Today's popular Bibles, and the class I teach in Florida, various denominations, the Bibles, the popular Bibles are being purchased like crazy, and they're dumbing down the Word.
Amen.
Really. To be sure, there are translation errors in every Bible. It's from the 5.3 or whatever words in English it takes to come up with one Greek word, as Barney said. There's three that you said, three something. So, they're taken from the Hebrew and the Greek. You can't get around it. We have translation errors in here, in our book as well. But are you young? My recommendation, are you young? Learn Hebrew and Greek, or at least one. Are you older? love the King James Version Bible. It has thee, thou, ye, and so on. Very clear in who or whom our Lord is speaking. We need clarity. Memory is weak, but the love for our Lord grows daily by our study. Things we did know, we now see in a greater light. Continue daily in your study, plus Napalot. I'm not sure what verse that is, but I'm sure there's a scripture in there. Napalot. But just not right now. Thank you.